opening words of our epistle, lesson Paul's letter to the Colossians. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father. Amen. Now, the word we're going to be basing our thoughts on today are those of the gospel lesson, a very, very well-known text you're familiar with in the parable of the Good Samaritan. That language has even made it into our legal language, the Good Samaritan laws and so forth. But just a comment on that word of the Apostle Paul in Colossians. As pastors, you can't help be touched by Paul's words and saying, hey, when I go to the Lord in prayer, I remember you and I give thanks for you and I pray for you. And I don't know how many of you know, because you don't see it, but I do that. I pray for you. And I truly give thanks to you, God, for you. We had a group of people. We had some visitors last night, and they just commented how good it was to come back and see old friends once again. And I truly give thanks to God for you and for the partnership you share in things like Vacation Bible School and sharing the good news of the gospel, even with little children. And we're so blessed here. I heard many parents who stayed and watched the opening devotions, the opening kind of rally, you might call it, a pep rally, each morning. And they just, they marveled at the talent that we have, and God has blessed us so richly with that. And to use that talent to share with others. Now, sometimes I go through the membership list, and sometimes I just remember some of you in prayer when you're going through challenging times. Bob and Donna, in your family now with Helen in the rehab center. And what a joy it is to know that those prayers are heard by God. And those are prayers for you. And I know you pray for me as well. Just wanted to share that because it just touched my heart to see Paul's words in the letter of Colossians. Well, the gospel lesson talks about a good Samaritan. What's a good Samaritan to you? Who's brave and bold? We're still in Vacation Bible School mode. Who's willing to share a little bit? What's a good Samaritan? I got a friend over here, Matthew. He's a smart guy. I'm impressed with him, and he reads a lot. So you must know what a good Samaritan is. Those who help others in need. Yeah. Linda, looked like you were going to say something. Somebody who goes out of their way. I remember a news story about a man who was called a good Samaritan. His name was Wesley Autry. Not Audrey, but Autry. And it caught my attention because we were living in California, but it made national news, his act of caring for someone else, because it happened back in the New York City metro area that we had lived in earlier. And it happened on the platform of a train, one of the trains that are connected with the subway, the mass transit system. Apparently, a man was on the platform waiting for the train. If you've been there, you know, man, they come rushing in. There's no guardrail or anything. You're right there in front of where the train comes in. And he was there with his two granddaughters, and he had some kind of a seizure. And it threw him down to the ground, and it threw him down on the tracks. Now, you know, that's a pretty good fall already. I'm not sure how far, 6-8 feet, a pretty good drop. He fell on the tracks, and the train was coming. So what does Wesley Autry do? He immediately jumps down there, and he realizes there's no time to save him, to help push him back up on the platform, and even himself to get up. So he takes the man, throws him on the ground, and dives on top of him in between the train tracks. And they get down as low as they can, and the train came in and went right over top of them, and they were both safe. But it was so close the news article read that there were grease stains on the back of his clothing. And they called him a hero, and I think he is a hero. But they called him a good Samaritan. I don't think anybody would debate that because of what he did. And then as soon as the train had stopped, he shouted out, "Hey, there's two little girls up there. Tell them their grandpa is okay." Can you imagine that? And it caught my attention. Now that is a good Samaritan. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He's covered us. He's put himself in danger. In fact, he died for us. He is that good Samaritan. We're going to be talking about that as well today. And now Jesus says to this kind of, I don't know what image you get of this expert of the law. Now, I there may be a couple of attorneys here. I don't want to offend you. But you know some of these legalese kind of guys, these snivelly kind of experts of the law, you know. That's the image I get of him. And of course, he answers Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, what do you do to inherit anything? Nothing. If you inherit it, it's because somebody cared to leave that inheritance for you. But he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, hey, you're the expert of the law, you know." He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself." Okay. Jesus said, "You get a gold star. You answered perfectly. You answered correctly. You really do know the law. Now, go and do it." Isn't that the catch? Go and do it. You can know it, but do it. And so now the teacher, the expert of the law, comes back. He says, "Well, okay, go and do it. But what does that mean? Who's my neighbor?" And then he tells this parable of the good Samaritan. It's funny where this text falls, too. Remember last week, the sermon? Anybody want to tell me what we preached on last week? Don't worry, I had to go back and look at my notes, too. No. But the text that precedes this one says, you know, with the 72, they go out, they cast out demons, they do all these great things, they heal people, and Jesus says, "Hey, don't get impressed that the demons obey you. Rather, be impressed with what? That your names are written in heaven." That precedes this. And then the gospel follows the next text after this one is about Mary and Martha, and Jesus goes to their home in Bethany, and Martha's making lunch and cleaning up and, you know, being the perfect hostess, and she gets a little angry with Mary. Remember that one? And says, "Hey, teacher, you know, Lord, tell Mary to get off of her tush and help out here a little bit." And Jesus says, "Oh, no. Mary's chosen the better part." And so in the midst of all of this, it's like we're honing in on what's priority perspectives, what's the priorities of our lives. And if you want to inherit eternal life, then believe in the Lord with all your soul, with all your strength. And if you do that, you must follow and love your neighbor, but you must do it. So here we go. A little illustration, but it's a true story about a seminary class. David, you're going to love this one from the seminary days. Professor had a great idea. He said to his class, he says, "Look, today we're going to write a sermon on the Good Samaritan, but here's what I want you to do in preparation for it. I want you to go out and interview somebody on the campus and ask them what a Good Samaritan is as you make your way over to the studio, and then we're going to record your interviews." Now, they all took notes, and they're ready to go, and they had an hour to get from here to the studio. And on the way, however, the professor had set up some actors to be in crisis and dire straits and need. What would the students do? And so as they came upon the situation that was all set up, how many of the seminary students do you think stopped to help the person in need? Zero. Because after all, they had an assignment to preach on the Good Samaritan, and they were, already, set in their minds and focused on that, and they didn't get the point. Of course, the professor made a great point. Isn't that how it is with us in our daily walk in life? So as we look at this parable and we see the priest and the Levite, we might get a little judgmental of them, but so many times, that's exactly how it is for us. I know in a wiser, older pastor than I, there are a few that are older than me still, and he said once, if you get busy in your office and you're on the computer and you're working out your sermon and you're doing all the other things and someone comes up, don't you just hate it and say, Jill, you got a moment? Pastor, do you have just a minute? I want to chat with you about something. And you kind of think, you put a smile on. Oh, yeah. But you're kind of thinking, oh, no. Anyway, he told me, don't do that. That's when ministry happens. More ministry happens in the interruptions than what you might think, than what you might be planning on. The sermon will wait, the whatever your work, the Bible class preparation can wait a little bit. And be there for the phone call and the interruption. So in this interruption now, there's a man on the way. The road from Jerusalem is here. It's kind of on a height, Mount Zion, and Jericho's down here. And it was about 6-7 miles, as I remember. And it was a dangerous road, and a man was mugged. He was beaten and robbed, left for half dead. Now, a lot of priests and Levites probably lived in Jericho, and they were going up to Jerusalem to do their proper task, their duties. And they come across this scene. Now, I want to take a look at the different people in this parable. The first ones are the thieves, the robbers, the ones who preyed on him. They're careless. Hold on to those words. They could care less about anything or anyone except themselves. They were willing to hurt someone and leave them for dead. They could care less. They had no moral compass. They had nothing that they honored except themselves. They took advantage. There are so many people like that in this evil world who could care less about anything or anyone except themselves. Now come along to what we might call caretakers. They were God's called and ordained, to use that language. They were God's chosen caretakers of his holy people. They were the ones who were charged with caring. And the priest for leading in worship and offering sacrifices and offering prayers for the people. And the Levites, they were the ones charged with the care of God's house. Kind of like pastors and deacons and elders here at Trinity. And how do they respond? Kind of like the seminary students, I suppose. They come upon someone in need, and what did they do? Do you remember? They actually crossed by the other side. They went out of their way to avoid helping that person in need. We don't even get a sense that they even took pity on them. You know what it's like when you're driving down the road and you see all kinds of emergency vehicles. You might be a little annoyed because the traffic is slowed up. It's stop and go. But when you come upon the scene, you do a little bit of that rubbernecking thing. But don't you feel that compassion? Don't you kind of think, oh, when I see that car and it's so badly damaged, how are the people? Maybe you even say a prayer for them if you... If you don't, I would encourage you to do so. And we don't even get the sense the priest or the Levite, the caretakers, could care. They're almost as bad as the careless, the ones who could care less. They walk by the other side. Now along comes another one, and he's called a Samaritan. Remember the Samaritans? They were the ones who used to be part of God's people. Now they're mixed breed. long time earlier when the Assyrians came in and conquered them, and they mixed their people with the Jewish people. They got this mixed breed, and they were despised by the Jews and hated. So along comes a Samaritan who's despised by this guy right here. And maybe the Samaritan could have easily said, yeah, you got what you deserve, or something like that. But he doesn't. He has pity on him. He goes out of his way. He puts his own life in danger. Maybe somebody would come and rob him. Maybe it was a setup. Have you ever had a situation like that? In California, it was in the fall of the year. I'm driving home one evening from the church to our house, and I see this body in the street. You know, my heart just boom, 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 boom. I couldn't believe it. So I pulled over, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Now, I had some training years earlier. I was a paramedic at one time, and I thought, well, boy, come back to me so I know what to do for this person. Well, I got up there and found out it was all a hoax. It was a body stuffing in men's clothing, and there were people watching and having a good time. Kind of watching this. But I thought to myself, my goodness, what would it be like to come across somebody like in real need, like this man on that road? And the Samaritan has pity on him. He takes care of him. Not only that, he takes him to the inn. He pays for his stay there and his care, comes back and says, hey, when I get back this way again, if there's extra expense, I'll pay that too. Isn't that amazing? What a model for loving your neighbor. So then Jesus finally says, okay, now you expert of the law, which one would you say was the neighbor? And I had you read that part. The one who showed mercy. The one who had mercy on him. And now comes those tough words. You see, the Samaritan's the caregiver. We use this kind of language in Stephen Ministries, caregiver and care receiver. The Samaritan is the caregiver. He's the one who sees his neighbor in need and ministers to him. And Jesus makes a point and says, now, go and do it. Don't just know it, but go and do it. Isn't it amazing that we have to have Good Samaritan laws that say if you come across a scene and you have skills that are able to help someone and you ignore them, wow, you could even be in trouble with the law. I don't know how often that ever gets enforced, but that we have to legislate. But God says, now go and do likewise. Love as Christ has loved us. You and I also are part of this parable. We are the care receivers. Jesus is the care giver for us. And he comes along on the road of life, and we're beaten up with sin, and we're dead in our trespasses. And he ministers to us. He applies the healing of the gospel in our lives. He goes to the cross, and he puts his body over top of ours and protects us, that we might be with him and that we might live. And so this day, we take note. Do you remember all of those people? There are the careless, remember? They could care less. There are the caretakers. Surely there's the caregiver. And you and I, the care receivers. And we're called not just to receive, but also to be caretakers. And to love as Christ has loved us. Let's pray. Lord, take this word that we've heard today. As we've meditated upon this word, move it from our heads into our hearts, into our hands and our feet. That we not just know about your love, that we just not worship and give thanks to you and love you, but that we put that love into action, that we be the caretakers that you've called us to be, that we take that faith that you've given on us, that you've caused to be born in our hearts, and that we actually live it and we do it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.